get that. Tim Hollis, any Hollis? Copy on. Okay, item two, declaration of interest. Any declarations of interest?
No.
Nope. Moving on to the action sheet, item three. And we go to the action sheet page by page. Page one, page two, page three, page four, and a blank page for you. Any issues or anything?
It's just normal.
Declan, do you want to use the microphone to avoid?
Yeah. I'm just getting out on the.
Yeah, take it out. Is it an issue, Declan?
I don't know, man.
All right.
I'm still there.
Any other issues? So, can I get a proposal on second? Proposed, Council Gordon, second, Council Harvey?
Yeah.
Is it working now, Declan?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, item four, joint Brexit conference, and John, speaking of.
Yes, sir, this is really far along from our work with on the research around Brexit. We had them agree that the council would develop an event around supporting businesses at a, you know, a practical level around the impact of Brexit. Sir, what we're proposing here is an event on the 27th of February, Washington of Lowe. And a credit board, Chairman, to support businesses to be free of charge, Chairman, that were in the state islands will be pressed to get the most up to date thinking on Brexit. And then, obviously, moving to some more practical steps for businesses to pay for the Brexit support voucher and get started to challenge and start to develop individual support for the businesses around Brexit, Chairman. Thanks, Chairman. I suppose it's a more localized version of the event that. And this year around in Belfast and Dublin just before Christmas. I think it's great to see the chair or the council sorry, taking the lead on this again. This is, I suppose, the third event on Brexit. I know up in was a lockdown at the time. We're at 8:30 given out there for in Trade Ireland. Some of the information I took away from my business was absolutely brilliant. And anybody that knows any business, especially in the border area, to let them know about this event in charge. Day, mm-hmm. I think the information from it is excellent. We're out there to hear more down the council, but now County Council, I think, that he wants again. Gerald?
Sure, just a line one that I'm going to talk about out there today. And what I'm going to think of, there's a lot of people don't know what information they got there, even politicians themselves don't know. But I'm going to down here to say, who can attend this conference? Can we as councillors attend and businesses then? How do we get the invitation to the businesses? Because I think it's a very important.
Chairman, the invitations will be pushed out through social media and the press, Chairman, and you can register online. The event, anybody can attend the event, Chairman, but it is really practical for all businesses. It's practical assistance advice at high level and then practical assistance for businesses. And really it's a start of an engagement for businesses to gain some insight specific to their sector and the issues that they face.
I myself have been asked on numerous occasions about as far as the fishing industry is concerned, like the border, somebody out there. And to be very honest with you, my knowledge is very limited, so it is, and I'd like to, you know, get as much knowledge as we can so they can pass it on to businesses as they grow that thing.
Thanks,
Bill.
Jonathan, you're saying that we can apply online or register online. Will the link be emails and both of us to pass on with
us? Yeah, that'll be forwarded out to you guys.
Declan?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, not a welcome that I can play this on. Certainly, great yourself for taking this forward. And I do think we'll probably have to continue to do this as the whole outworkings of Brexit have started to become slightly more clear. But I'm going to ask you, how are you going to really cope, you know, from the next one of these now, you know, really when we're still taking place, the very simple facts that, you know, the single market, customs union membership uncertainty, which is totally blurred in the landscape. And we hear from Theresa today that, you know, that there are no differences inside, you know, the UK. But she hasn't offered any solutions. to go on membership with us, you know. And Ari was speaking on Saturday in Kahana. You know, she put forward the solution that we all only live happily ever after as a solution, which isn't a solution. There's actually nobody's come up with any problems. So we're saying that it's going into a conference and there's, you know, trying to help people, but really and truly, it's extremely difficult because it's, you know, the differences between being a member of the single market and customs union and not being, the difference is between night and day. And night and day, you know, it's totally and utterly off the ball. You know, so I think, how are we going to cope with it like that? Are we building in options in this conference where, you know, for a business, for example, that, you know, how will it survive? How will it survive within the customs union and the single market or without? Was that the thinking behind this? Or are we going to just try and develop it as it all unravels or unravels really a little bit?
Before Jonathan comes in there, I have the same concerns when I went to the meeting on Blog Air. You're completely right, because you can't talk about tariffs for businesses, you can't talk about the nuts and bolts of the end deal. But what I got out of it is avenues that small businesses can go and contact people in Infiltrate Ireland to get, you know, some sort of advice. I thought it was Aidan Goff that spoke at the time. I don't think he's speaking at this one. Probably somebody from it. The invitation to say, listen, small business should be thinking of options X, Y, and Z, and this is what you can do in the meantime. And as it advances, of course, but I think, you know, in the time frame that we have, put comments like this on to point people in the direction that there is help out there for small business is completely paramount. And yeah, I agree, as it goes forward and the detail comes out on the deal, businesses will be able to look more closely, businesses that import or, you know, take from outside the EU or cross-border, we can look more closely at tariffs. But right now, flagging where they can go for help and advice is very, very important, and getting the process down. I find it very helpful in that area, and we're probably down the road right now, so I think it'll be helpful for small businesses.
Well, you can only base it on what we know at the moment. Probably start from a basis of what we know and what from there. It really is around businesses. I mean, the feedback we get from businesses are what support is there. This is supposed to start of a process. It's not going to solve this problem. You're not going to come away from this event with an announcement of Brexit. It's a start of engagement with a voucher that you can, if you're interested, that you can apply on the day for the voucher. You can start an engagement process with people who are experts in those in your specific sector and can start to look at some of the issues at the moment that we've been very general. But this is starting to get around. If you're a food processing business, you will be speaking to people who know that industry and know the challenges that it will face, or if you're in financial services, you'll get people who you get speaking then to people who are supposed to be experts in those areas and can advise, and it's probably the start of a journey as opposed to a solution.
I'm happy not to need a proposal and accept the recommendations, and as well as that, just to make it clear, maybe, I mean, is this committee invited as councillors, or could the seek to if they are, maybe even open it up to all councillors that provide the alternative?
It is allowed all councillors, though. All councillors would be invited.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, just to pick on something that Declan said there as well. What Arlene has said, I think we can take anything Arlene says with a pinch of salt, because she's certainly in the lead camp. I think they should have moved that conference over to Kerry, because she's talking about Blarney anyway. I have to say, but it's important we get the message out to our businesses in this area, sure, because we are so strategic to this on the M1 corridor. Well, just incidentally, did we have anyone at that conference organized by the Fed Ireland in Belfast?
Chairman, there was, well, I attended myself, I think I may have been some of that commander, but maybe there was a county member in Jackie Hill, but there was been, there's a member.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, sir. Any other comments on the vote? We've got a proposal. Can I get a second now? Councillor, yes. Okay, moving on to item 5, creative industries.
Chairman, just sure. Trying to try to declare an amendment.
Okay. Item 5, Creative Industries and Learning Technologies for Small Business. And again, this is Jonathan.
And Chairman, you have the proposal there, and probably we have been working with the two colleges, SRC and SERC, around development of creative industries cluster, Chairman, and this is a proposal to bring forward a program on activity to support businesses in that sector around networking, innovation, growth,
business development term. The recommendation is that we work in collaboration with the first colleges to the school level program. We have the budget term available to do that within the budget.
Any comments from the
floor?
Yes, I mean, the script again, once again, to see the leg of this and brought forward. I know I called the last of this, I certainly mentioned when we had a, this formation of this committee, that one of, is one of the things we want to do is help create, you know, new business, help new small businesses be creative and innovative and identify where the emerging markets are, where the emerging movements are in terms of business, you know. So, I mean, this industry, welcome. Could I just ask, probably small point of, so how do we propose to get, having already identified the business in the area, and how do we propose to get them involved? And the reference is one part of the IoT in Belfast. Was it meant there, was it up the Innovation Factory, is that what's meant there, or is that a new group as opposed to the Belfast?
No, it's an acronym for the Internet
of Things. Oh, it's an Internet Factory. Because there's an Innovation Factory in Belfast. Are they going to be involved in
it? Not directly at the moment, the colleges, the two colleges and the council chair, but that may well develop into that as we move forward.
Yes, thank you.
Just my first question, Declan, you asked how we're going to identify
the business. Yes, how are we going to identify the business and get them involved? You know, especially
in the just promotion term and social media term, there are a number of businesses that the colleges will be working on already, but we would widen the opportunity and more involved as well.
Enterprise standards, you've already
well, we will work through it for the museum to help develop the advanced needs and contracts. Thanks, Adam.
Any further comments? Make a proposal on tackle? Mm-hmm. Proposed, have one here. Second? Second, Councillor Smith. Moving on to item 6, the update on the Derrymore regeneration project and where you're going to go with this.
Jeremy, you have your report, very detailed report outlining kind of the key work packages within the Derrymore project term and an upstage of recommendations. Certainly, we would be recommended to council adopt those. There really are a series of things that we need to get working on with in the coming months, certainly the coming year, or sorry, to progress the project. Certainly, they're really around service level agreements, agreements with the National Trust, the procurement and the permissive path agreements. Certainly, I suppose the bottom line is the project is moving forward, the applications are being developed, and these are the things that we need to keep moving in the right direction. Certainly, we recommend adoption of them.
Proposed, yeah. Second. Second. Happy with all. Item 7, the Chinese invitation. Marie.
Sure, at the last committee meeting, we brought forward a paper regarding the friendship agreement between the Changchun region and Yeringuan and Down District Council. We have been had an invitation extended by the Mayor of Changchun to visit in 2018, and we recommend to the committee that we do actually undertake that visit. The Chair and Chief of Collective of Council will be the representative of people. I think there's an opportunity as well to consider opportunities for the wider delegation of business and potentially educational partners on the visit. We have been speaking just very recently to the SERC regarding international relations, and SERC have indicated that they would potentially be interested in participating in that friendship agreement. Within the paper, I've referred to the fact that we would need to also be working with the Executive Office and the General People's Republic of China and the Confucius Institute as well. So that's work that will be ongoing over the next number of months. In developing friendship agreements with China, it's a lengthy process and requires a considerable amount of partnering and arrangements to be done prior to any visit. So we'll be implementing those, but we'll keep the committee informed just as we move forward. But the first point of contact will be if the committee agrees to accept the invitation, and then also to look to meet with the Executive Office and then the Confucius Institute to look to see how we develop the project.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, it's very interesting to have a proposal recommendation. I don't
across the island, and there's been a number of very successful business projects between Irish business men and women working in China. So I think it's an opportunity we should explore. So thank you. Thanks, Ed.
I think the key part of this is that we have a bit of time, to get item number 3 in the recommendation before we consider an opportunity to do a wider delegation for businesses. You know, I think this is probably the first for this area that we really have an opportunity opened up for ourselves and presented ourselves. You know, I mean, I think that there is a high power delegation being in this area from all facets of industry, agriculture, and food, and you know, in China, well, that's where the big demand is. You know, I think, you know, we looked at, you know, the presentations we put a number of months ago when we did the launch of our tourism strategy. You know, the varieties of food exporters that were there that day, willing and keen to get onto the export market, I can only presume. And, you know, I think this presents untold opportunities, exciting opportunities for this region. Probably for the first time in the history of both councils, I can make it. So, certainly, I would come out of the sanctuary second, but certainly endorse it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Yes, sir. I would fully support the government, but there have been a delegation over here already here from China, not here in Europe or anything, but in Northern Ireland here, and there have been in Belfast. And I think if one looks at the tourist attractions here, which are mostly Chinese, but going back again to the delegation over here, they went up to Finn Grove, Dennis Finn, up there, and they were trying to be very persuasive to get the product there, and out there. So there is an interest here already established. I don't know what the end result was for the Dennis is concerned, but yes, I think this is a golden opportunity for us here, because there is opportunity between China and all, and from tourist point of view, and from an all and all export import point of view.
Sure, that's correct. There was a delegation of Chinese came in there back in December, organized by the SNI. And it is correct in saying that they have expressed an interest in particular business in the Yuri Warren Down region. Chinese have a big pork import that they have, and a lot of it actually does come from Northern Ireland. So there's a huge opportunity for the Yuri Warren Down region to actually become involved with the Changchun region. And we will look to develop that to ensure that it's not just the care and chief executive traveling, but that we do have a delegation of other businesses.
Marie, just on that, we're talking about business leaders, and that's outside tourism. You said that Mark and go right across imports and exports, small businesses.
Indeed, so just recently, NJM announced their work in China as well in relation to chips. So there is a huge connection just across the district from various things, whether it be the agricultural and food sector, or whether it be from that engineering building section. You know, so there's huge opportunities, and we're really good exploring that. And as I said, we had a meeting with myself and Jonathan with SDRC just last week, and their international relations, and they would be keen to explore the opportunities from an education perspective, and we'd be asking the SRC the same. So I think there's a huge opportunity just for this particular arrangement.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I suppose the biggest opportunity for business in Snapples was trying to be 15 years ago, but involved with business and training import and export. It makes a huge difference, especially when we're on the outside. I know, you know, my opinion is, you know, staying in the biggest market in Europe, but we do have to look at other markets, and for this committee to put on something like that and have an arrangement with China, so businesses within this area can go over and make deals with the import and export, is absolutely brilliant. Great. So everybody happy enough to put a proposal down?
Yeah. Okay, item 8. This is the second the Mifflin Property Conference work.
Sure, the Mifflin Property Conference is the biggest event in the European real estate calendar. I'm just coming off the back of the announcements that we made regarding the potential investment in Uri in November, I think it was. and also the opportunities that exist for regeneration in Durham County. There is an opportunity for the Chair Council and Council Special to attend, and Belfast City Council do have a stand at NIFM, where we wouldn't be on the stand. We would be working through the various partners that we have in Deloitte and Dragon Communications to ensure that we get there with a number of meetings and to have the opportunity to vote in very one and down region from a regeneration perspective.
Thanks, Ray. Any comments or questions as well? Willie?
Just to say, I think it's a good opportunity, as the directors outlined, that there's a number of development opportunities in the area in Dunbarton, but they're right across the district. There's opportunities in different sectors, including tourism. So I think it is a good opportunity to go into that.
Thank you.
Gary?
Obviously, I'm not sure. I mean, we're not going to find all the solutions to everything today, but, you know,
Okay, moving on to item 9, the Northern Ireland Tourism Alliance, and then Zandy.
Yes, Chair, the Secret Sector of the Tourism Management to all authorities to seek a support for the establishment of the new Tourism Alliance. And it'd be similar to the Tourism Alliance bodies in other jurisdictions in the South and England and Scotland. In that it would advocate for the growth of the tourism industry in Northern Ireland. The other, in addition to 11 local authorities, the other proposed members would be the airports, the ports of entry, major air carriers, hotels, federation, Alexis Transmark, etc. And the resource allocation of the local performing of 2,000 per year towards the operational costs of the alliance.
Any comments or questions as well?
Motion.
Opposed, Debbie?
We talked about us having membership over that. What type of membership are we getting in terms of representation?
We would have the level of authorities would have opportunities at the executive board of the Northern Ireland Tourism Alliance. So it would be essentially full membership of that body.
Yes, but I meant in terms of this committee, you know, on the council per se.
Sure, this is a very much a business driven tourism alliance, and I think the proposal is that the 11 local authorities will be represented by one member from the local authority, potentially a potential executive, but that members will be invited to participate at different times. What Tourism and I are trying to encourage here is a role for businesses to be the leaders in their own field. And it's very much in line with what happens in England, Scotland, Wales, and the Republic of Ireland. So that we would have membership, but we'd be looking to drive the businesses. So it would be more important for us to invite our businesses to have representation on from the system.
I just didn't know reading through the list from the list of this current membership of the alliance. Ryan there, for example, the EasyJet weren't members. I'm just wondering, because all the other, links or CBEX were all part of it. Both those companies have very strong links throughout Europe. I know we can't do anything about it, but certainly it's just not struck so loudly that the two big questions, especially Ryan, are a big higher coming in north and south, that they weren't members of that as well, and we feel they should have been trying to do the
attract the energy,
really
not
the
fourth
item in the agenda, the membership.
Thank you very much. And the chair, that's the start of membership, so that won't be the final membership, so those all organizations will be invited to attend.
Right,
thank you.
Chair, thanks. I agree with the comments and supportive of the initiative. I think it's very important that the tourism business sector has a major voice. When local government and central government, if it gets up and running, will have certainly a major role to play. It's really, really important that the local tourism sector takes the lead in regards to these types of initiatives, because they are the front line at the end of the day, and they know what the real issues are firsthand. So I think it's very important that they are taking the lead, and I'm glad to hear that. I hope that this doesn't become an parallel, you know, where you're a big, top-heavy organization and start looking to increase the resources put into it. I think it's important that doesn't happen, that it is the business sector is going to drive this forward. And it's not continually looking for public sector to provide more resources or, you know, increasing the resources. I think it's important that doesn't happen. But at the current level, I think that's totally acceptable. It's all supported from the post.
Excellent. Jack?
Thanks, Chair. I sort of had that written down myself there with the Empire building. My concern is, are the issues that they would this new alliance to be addressing solely to do with the land and council areas? I mean, would there be a tie-in with Board of Culture or Tourism Ireland? Because at the end of the day, it's only a small piece of land in this day of this particular European continent.
Chair, I would say that the Tourist Board has been working very closely with the likes of other industry associations and the likes of the Tourism Alliance in the South and in Scotland to try and establish a Tourism Alliance here in Northern Ireland. So there would be very close links with other tourism agencies and bodies across border, across jurisdictions. So they'll be looking at a very much growing international tourist, so it would make sense to have those links. What those other alliances and what those other tourism agencies.
Yeah, you know, history has shown us in this area that, you know, NI Tourism Inc. have never shown great support for any tourism initiative in our near and more in our South Armagh, for instance. So, truth at the end of the day, there's not having a lot of money if you're getting, you know, good return on it. But we've watched it with great interest just to see what we do get out of it. Sure, thank you.
Can I just, because I know Andy can't close the historical employee of Tourism NI, can I just say that Tourism NI has been very supportive of the Nearly Moreland Generation since the formation of the new council in 2015, and have contributed well in excess of, sorry to say, 100,000 to the sales that they hang on block level. So we're very appreciative of our partnership with them.
We did have a thing on there.
We've got a proposal second up today, yeah. I can move on.
Item 10, the dual tourism project update, and again, Andy.
Yeah, Chair, members be aware that Crabtree Walker Scott Downgold has submitted a geopark application in November 2018. This paper sets out the details of the proposed boundary of the geopark and how it will be based on the three existing AONBs at the moment from the government of Stamford and Kia. Officers are working in close partnership with the officers in Ards and North Down to progress the plans. It's also worth noting that the paper sets out the economic benefits of the UK geoparks, and in particular, the drawdowns tend to the likes of Marble Arch Caves Geopark, that generates $15 million for the local economy in Toronto every year. And there's other economic benefits, not just economic benefits, but other benefits to local communities, etc. So the paper is quite a bit of detail, but it just updates members of where we're at with our progress and the work that's set out over the next year.
Terry?
Hi, Chair, I'm sure it's going to come up, but I'm just wondering overall what sort of acreage are we aiming to cover in all of that?
There's a map.
I have the map up there, but just.
It would be based on the three existing AONBs, so it's, I wouldn't have to figure out the exact acreage, but in terms of land size, it is quite substantial in terms of what we're looking at there for the geopark.
That would be helpful to work that out, you know, to give people an understanding of all
And as part of our communication plan, we're working up those details just to inform people of the scale of the project that we're looking at there.
Thanks, sir.
Just as well, for clarity for people with the red line boundary, which shows the three AONBs of the boundary of the geopark. Geopark designation is will actually be particular to a number of sites that will be largely in public ownership. So that's a very important distinction to make for communities and for the general public in particular, and the farmers associations as well. You know, that this is very much like the way down by the AOMB, the land associated with the geoparks will be those pieces of land in public ownership. For example, places like maybe the Silent Valley or
the Lake of Dalrymple will be an important site in the project, so it's within council remit at the moment, for example.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. Sir, I was just in the dog yesterday for a funeral, and I noticed a couple of things, and just wanted to pass commentary on in relation to the tourism industry. The first one was that there were a number of signs for the Cairn Port Ferry. It's that's not actually correct, but it's a clean work ferry, are we?
Sure, the owners of it have called it the Cairn Port Ferry, and it's something that...
They want to
keep it. We do realise that that's causing confusion for people, but we've asked them to come along to the next meeting of Louth Mary Moreland Down to actually present. So.
There's a lot of confusion, but people are expecting to get the ferry from Carnwood as a result. But the other is the Greenway that Godspeed all only will occur on the Yuri side. But that looks like a fence, yeah, being compared to the fence in the south. So is that just a heavy fence or something? It's a wooden structure, but it looks quite flimsy compared to the southern one, which is a nice green metallic type of thing.
Sure, this is part of this.
I think this is a very, it's a very important paper today, particularly in regards to the Brahman and the geopark, and the amount of visitors that could be attracted by such a Brahman. You just have to look at the Marble Arch case and the amount of visitors that come to that, and a lot of that is to do with the UNESCO Brahmans. And I think it's important then in regards to our new partners, so to speak, Ards and North Down. It is a sizeable area, but it is a compatible area. So we are doing a lot of work in Stratford Dock at the minute, on both sides, both countries. So I think it is a good relationship there, but it's just about just in regards to the council chamber and Ards and North Down, they are satisfied with this approach. And this isn't just officers at the middle, is the first question. The other point is in regards to, obviously there's good contacts there south of the border in regards to clearly. Is there still opportunity for them to participate or to even assist in the type of work that we are trying to undertake with the views of them maybe joining our labour stage?
Chair, just in regards to the working in partnership, we have been working very closely in partnership with the officers in Ards and North Down. There is more preparatory work required with regards to some of the sites in Stranford Lock that's within Ards and North Down, just due to the amount of work that had already been taking place here with the former application for the more clearly bringing bullion application. There's a lot more work done, and the sites are, I suppose, at a more ready stage, if you like, at this site. So there is more work, I suppose, required, and we're working very closely with our colleagues in Ards and North Down and advance that work to ensure that the submission can be made in time for November 2019. With regards to your second question, we're looking at basing this application on the three AOMBs, so that would essentially look at there is an opportunity for some advancement, some expansion of the geopark site. I believe it's 10% per year, but no, that would be more based on advancing on the Stranford side of things rather than in the Cooley side of things. So we'd be looking very much forward. It's going to be Ring of Bullion Mounds, and Stranford is going to be the core area of this geopark submission.
Sure, I'll just come back in. The reason I make the point that in regards to Ards and North Down, it's important that preparatory work is taken place, that preparation, because the last thing you want is, sort of bad news story that maybe the chamber aren't happy, or that you have a lobbying aspect, say, from the landowners or whatever. It's important that work is undertaken and continued as you submit your bid. It's just in regards to communication and a communication strategy by this council and what they're in the north. I think that's very important that message is clear and it goes out to the public of what we're trying to achieve. And this isn't a national park, this is a geo park. And I think we need to ensure that the community understands that. And I think we're worth maybe doing some sort of briefing, you know, to the media in regards to that and doing that on both sides of the lot.
Well, Chair, if I could, the very much a communication plan and an education plan and engagement plan is part of what we're doing here with this application. We're very mindful that we need to communicate to our stakeholders and keep them informed of how we're progressing with the geopark. So we've actively started work on those things, and yes, we're working closely with our colleagues as much as possible in Northern Ireland to ensure that that's done in a joint basis.
I think that's a important point, Wendy, because for us on the area now, joint council, we have to set up some of that with the geopark across the group. As Dermot and Darcy and Terry have decided, where we have landowners and officers, and it was a shame to come up to the end. So if we have them,
yeah, certainly along the same lines to what you were saying about, you know, how this is sold, and I've always cautioned, you know, when we're trying to launch something like this or propose this, that in geoparks, that landowners and farmers, you know, are should be appraised of us. And I do welcome the fact that it's following the same boundaries as the AONB. But I do think we need to move to assure landowners and farmers that, you know, we won't, there'll be nothing, you know, extra of an imposition on them in terms of developing their farms and in terms of developing where they live. You know, we do see, you know, and then we'll set up the planning committee, we do see certain restrictions placed on certain you know, remarks passed when applications sits in the AONB. It is seen as slightly different, which I don't like to see this. I'm totally against this. I think rural people want to certainly protect their areas, but they also need to live in them. But that's why we need to get to be very clear in this movement out that there is no and will be no threat and no additional impositions made. That point couldn't be strongly enough, you know. And just caution that it does say here, and it's also noted that the boundary accepted there will be no further major expansions, but in fact it's no more than 10%. So there is, you know, the possibility that this could be, the whole area could be extended by 9%, for no more 10%, you know, which several many acres are. Where that would actually take it to, you know. So just caution that, again, I think communication is the key to this. And again, we all like to see this, we like this brought forward. I think it will help tourism in the area through history and how the land formation that is certainly worthy of promotion and certainly would find interest. But we think we need to do it and do it right and forward again. And I'm asking people to accept this.
Thanks, Doctor. And I'm sure there's a lot of comments on this paper and a few questions in there as well. At the back of the room, we've got Kerstin Lemon from Geological Survey NI. And maybe if you want to come up and say a few words on this paper, it would be helpful. Just grab a seat at the table, Kerstin.
I'm here.
Yeah. And press on, just press the microphone button in front of you.
So, as Chair said, I'm Kirsten Lemon, I'm a geologist with the Geological Survey of Northern Ireland. I've been working on geoparks for nearly 15 years now, and I've taken a lot of experience in model exploration to work for nearly 10 years. I've been working with Mary Warren Down for the last 10 months on trying to bring the UNESCO Global Geopark status application further. And prior to that, I actually did a lot of work with the Moore and Kirby Good and Geotourism Project, so I'm very familiar with the area. And more importantly, more familiar with the potential of the area to bring in geotourism and all the benefits that brings, not just economic, but also the social inclusion benefits, the health and wellbeing benefits, and also benefits for the environment as well. And the paper itself, as been outlined, includes the three A and Bs of the Mourns, Linfermline, and Stranford and Keele, all of which have a shared geological heritage that spans back nearly 400 million years. So to bring them all together, I think, is a fantastic opportunity for us all. And it not only brings in some of the upland areas, the lowland areas as well, that perhaps a lot of people really tend to ignore, but this is coming here for the upland areas in particular. And the economic benefits, I think, are outlined in the paper itself, but if anybody wants any more information on some of the economic benefits, particularly in Marble Arch, and in the paper that was produced by the UK National Commission for UNESCO, I can certainly provide those. And also there's economic benefit papers for other geoparks in Europe as well. So if anyone has any further questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. And as I say, just be free to fire away.
Kirsten, can I maybe ask you just to tell a wee bit of the specific concerns raised regarding planning and environmental systems based on your experience?
Absolutely. So geoparks themselves are not a statutory designation. The way I would describe a geopark is that they are essentially like a Michelin star for a restaurant. It's really an award given because of quality standards. In this case, it's because of the internationally important geological heritage. So what geoparks essentially do is look at the internationally important geological heritage and try and use that to bring in sustainable tourism to an area. So they don't offer any implications or restrictions on planning or development. The way geoparks go about conserving any kind of geological heritage is that they use what's already here. So there might be areas of special scientific interest. Their designations are already in place. So in effect, nothing changes whenever you get a geopark brand, except you can use that to bring visitors into the area. So it really is more like a brand or a tool for tourism as opposed to anything else.
Thanks very much, Ed. Can I get a proposal on second at the panel? Proposed daily or on the second?
Yeah, just on what Kirsten's mentioned in regards to Marble Arch, it's a bit worth maybe looking at sometime in the future, a study visit, you know, with the various sectors going to visit and first hand, you know, to listen to the issues, the benefits. I think a great part of the tourism sector, but also food, the agriculture business.
Yeah, Chair, we're in the plan process for the purchase tax for a visit to the Marble Arch and to ensure that different stakeholders, elected businesses and other sectors can understand just what it means and the benefits that's there for the for them as well from the geopark.
Willie, did you second it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, a bit on number 11, the attendance of Dublin Power Award on the Balmoral Show on this paper.
Yeah, Chair, the paper sent out a proposal to attend all the awards Dublin Balmoral Show. We're looking at taking expressive interest from members if they're willing to attend.
Yeah, any comments or questions as well?
Another word that was spoken this morning is going to be put into the policy. He said to keep the floor the same. That's all. And just kind of, that's all there.
Hold on,
the 26th of February at the German region is Hall of Water that I'll borrow the 60th of 1985.
I think there's
enough just in the Hall of Water. Where are you taking over the answer? Gerald, can I just ask you this question? What's the name of the Hall of Water? What's the name of the Hall of Water? They can propose on track up the paper. Propose and Dallas on second. Moving on to item 12, the extension of the fight of Professor LeBite, play in the state director for 2018. And again, Andy.
Yeah, and Pepper Chair is seeking approval for renewal of the Festival of Light Director's appointment for year 3 of 3. Once the flight director appointment is in place, officers will work very closely with the flight team to determine the scale and scope of the festival flight for 2018. Just to note also that we've had very positive discussions with the flight team of the Bray Air Show, and we're seeking to work in closer partnership with Bray over this year's events, but also seeking to grow opportunities for future events for between Bray and Newcastle to see if there's any economies of scale and any opportunity for partnership. Thanks, Andy. Terry?
Hi, Chair. Just before we go on about it, I was wondering if from the Minister, the problem is almost 20,000 to the 15 by 2018 to be a cap. What effect will that have on it?
Sure, we haven't taken the time yet to give consideration to the detail. We will come back to committee in February. What we're currently looking at is we have the money within the budget to run the festival like that was last year, and we may come forward with a proposal to run it for the 2 days, but we need to just look at how that impacts on the remainder of the budget. But it will be February. But if when we have the flight director appointed, then we'll be able to work the detail through on that then.
Yeah, so just to help confirm our cost of our knowledge of how to substantially cost more way after the fact.
Sure, we will come back in February to outline what the best means of moving forward.
Chair, I'm just saying on the back of a few words, is there any need for a flight director now on a band that's only going to last maybe one day?
I suppose, Chair, if I could come in. The flight director is an aviation expert, and there is a health and safety aspect, and there is someone who's basically air traffic control on the day. So it's that level of expertise that we need to bring in, and every international air show would have a flight director that's not necessarily a council official. So I would say it's an essential one for the event itself.
Exactly. Well, it's just that this idea broke around that the festival itself, or the cut from last year, could you just try and ensure that they're not being cut to the record?
As Murray said, that the paper will go back to an ARD meeting possibly in February or March on that. We all know the decision that was taken in council, which is option three, which does not present a proposed cut committee and the budget that was put forward in the rates process, and the rates process is not complete yet. We also have in the option where we have a budget of 105,000 that was there for Guardians of the Morals, but we don't know yet that we need to see in April where that money goes. I am full of faith that the money is there for the festival flight for 2 days. I'm full of faith that the money is there for the full budget for bus steps and bus going ahead. So until the paper is presented in February, we can't really discuss the details of that. It's also a theatre.
I look forward to them coming back. The magician, Marine, will be bringing it back. At the end of the day, I'm looking at this, again, it's cost to be in the budget, and it's going to be implications to budgets. It's going to happen somewhere, because, the guillotine's going to fall somewhere. If you take the money out of their budgets, they're going to have implications to expand the festivals, and that's what we said. It's about expanding the festivals, making the festival internationally renowned is what we're able to do. And to put on a festival flight over 2 days was the ambition of the council. That's what they wanted to do. We wanted to compete with our shows right across these islands. To run it over 2 days, you have to offer something really unique for the second day. You can't do a rehash on the first day. So you're talking considerable amounts of money. I was even unsure of the money it was allocated would be enough to put over the 2 days because of the amount of work that needs to be done on the ground. We visited our show in England. I did on behalf of the chairperson. And the amount of exhibitions on the ground and the MR shows are absolutely unbelievable. Scale them, engaging with manufacturing and high tech industries, engaging with colleges and universities and stimulating young people that have interest in STEM subjects. Really, really magic stuff on the ground. That's what the ambition of the council was intended to be. Looking at a grandstand area on the promenade. To create that wow factor, so to do that you need money, folks. But we're sort of going off the paper. We need a flight director, I propose that we do that.
Thanks, buddy. Second, Harry. Are we happy now? Okay, moving on to item 13, extent information. So this item is deemed to be reflective of the actual paragraph 3, Schedule 6 of the Open Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information related to the financial business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information,
and the public may, by resolution, exclude the chair of this item of business. Can I get a proposal second of the committee? Proposed daily of seconds. The committee will approve the additional item prop 31 point development first. The committee has agreed the additional prop 18,500 as before intended assessment to appoint the multidisciplinary team to manage the development brief process to reduce the 1 point pass. And that was proposed by Councillor McHale and seconded by Councillor Casey. Item 14, 1 point pass lease. The committee has agreed to enter into a short term lease, 1 year with option to renew. The lease goes in ventures subject to evaluation from LPS, proposed by Councillor Casey and seconded by Councillor Miller. Okay, moving on to the items from open interest concern one by one, if there's any questions on your proposal and segment. Item 15, the action tracker updates sheet. Proposal and segment, please. Proposed, Councillor Abbey, and second, Councillor McHale. Item 16, allowed hearing on the entire committee report. Proposal and segment, proposed, Councillor McHale, second, Councillor Herty. Item 17, Down Patrick Townscape Initiative Application of Heritage Lottery Fund. Proposed, Councillor Horan. Second, Councillor Harvey. Item 18, update on next steps of export development program. Proposal. Mr. the people who read it. I propose it. Are you signing up? Gary. Item 19, the farmers harvest and markets. Proposed Council Crowd. Seconded Councillor Clark. 20, Public Light. Proposal. Councillor Clark and second Councillor Clark. And before I do a proposal on seconded on 21, Mr. Gideon, I'll just Liam, if you want to give us the brief on this.
Yeah, I just want to bring it to your attention because remember, this is sort of a CE proposal is moving quite quickly in a number of areas. Just conscious that the next meeting of the political parties of the political groupings is on the 12th of February in the Downshire Civic Centre, when the representatives from the six councils involved in the city will be there. We are got to the point now where actually a number of the early areas of work have begun, the skills and employability strategies underway, the industrial strategy, some industrial strategies underway. There's a proposal currently Belfast is testing in Future Cities Catapult, which will look at the whole digital strategy for the region, which again ties into the application for broadband and then improving broadband delivery in the area. And we're now getting to the point where we're looking at the program of investment, which is capital projects to be included in the next round, bringing them down, as members of those, down to the six or seven projects within the capital project. So again, we're starting to set out the criteria which will actually be able to assess in terms of the capital projects. So what Don Chairman is just really bringing to your attention is sort of the program of work we're working towards, you know, in November 2018, you know, sort of signing off the business case for the City Day. So again, there's a lot of work, and again, conscious that this is one of the big areas of work off the council and one of the strategic alliances that the council has delivered, and it's going to be important members praise and sense about that as it goes forward.
Thanks, Ed. The proposal on time. Proposed Gary. I'm sorry, guys. Daily. Thanks very much. Stay at home.